The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gau Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gau Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
The other Texans thing I wanted to get out of the way, did you see Deshaun when he was asked his two favorite teammates who he responded with?
I did see that, and I don't want to say he's been like a bad sport about anything that's going on. I think that he's handled things the right way. But he's also kind of, he's thrown shade without outright saying things.
I hope he has a Patrick Mahomes season.
Yeah,
and
I don't think he will, but I hope he does.
Why, you don't think Bill O'Brien can run an Andy Reid type offense?
No, I don't.
What gives you that indication? I mean, it's the 6 years that he's supposed to have been an offensive genius?
Yeah, something like that. I keep waiting and waiting and waiting.
It's all those top 10 offenses he's had, right? Well, that's a shame.
Yeah.
Here's Brett Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, you can also get us on Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at the producer Nick. You can text the show, you know the number for that. And if you missed the first 2 hours, that's some of what you missed. A little sportsy, I would say. We kind of went through some NFL win predictions and things like that, so had some fun with some sports, which doesn't exist right now, so hey, at least we did something. And still got another great hour ahead for you, so if you missed any of that, podcastarena.com. Please wait till the show's over, though. And if you're so inclined, please stick around after the show and catch Jason Braddock and Patrick Creighton with Late Hits, which two great guys. Big fan of both of those guys. 713 asks, if there's no season, they still count as a year of their contract? Yeah, I'm 99% sure of that. So that would leave the Astros with... Here's the guys whose contracts will be up. And you tell me how likely they are to be back. George Springer.
I don't think he'll be back.
Yuli Gurriel.
I don't think so. I think at his age, I think they move on.
Michael Brantley.
I think they would like to find a way to keep him, especially knowing they're probably going to lose Springer and he's going to be a cheaper option and a shorter term option.
Josh Reddick.
No, no. He wouldn't be there now if they had their say.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's no loss. But they also... Like, they'll have Correa for another year. But, I mean, that's a pretty big chunk if you lose all those guys. And you don't really – I mean, obviously,
too?
Kyle Tuck – you know what? This is just position players, so
okay.
I have to go double-check. I think that's right. I think Greinke was
– I thought when they brought Greinke in, they had last year and this year. I might be wrong. There may be one more, but
– No, I think you're right. It's Verlander that they extended.
Right.
So he'll be around, but yeah, that's a. So he originally signed a 6 year deal, with a bunch of it deferred, but yeah, it's 2021 would be his last year.
Okay.
So they would have him next year. He makes $32 million in 2020 and $32 million in 2021.
Okay.
So, yeah, you have him for another year. So you're okay on that one. And, the way he pitches, I don't see him falling off a ton.
I don't really either.
I mean, it's a nice way of saying he doesn't have a lot of velocity to begin with. So, but man, you're looking at, I mean, that's just a significant amount. Now, I don't think Reddick is any big loss. Springer, listen, Kyle Tucker's not going to be George Springer. I think he'll be okay. But, you know, and then what do you do with Yuli? Do you put, do you try to teach Alvarez to play first?
No. I think you just you find a first baseman.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that they're, you know, in the past, well, when they had Jeff Luhnow, they've been pretty good at finding guys like Michael Brantley and bringing those guys in. So that'll be an interesting year for the Astros, because it will, and that's kind of why I hope there's a season, because I'm not sure, I'm not sure where their window is going to be much longer with this group.
Well, we've been kind of saying this year was kind of the last year of the window, it felt like.
Yeah.
At least a championship window. I think they can be competitive. I think this is their last year to really have a shot at winning a championship.
I would tend to agree with that.
Unless Alvarez and Tucker both are the real deal. You know, there's no – like you get a full season of what you got out of Alvarez, and Tucker turns into what – you know, people thought Tucker would be 2-3 years ago, the next Ted Williams, then you're in a different conversation. But if either one of those guys falters, and I think it's pretty, it wouldn't shock me one bit if Yordan wasn't as good this year as he was last year. That wouldn't shock me at all. And that wouldn't mean that he's done. But I think it's going to be, he set a bar that's going to be pretty tough to match. And Tucker, yep, so far has been pretty inconsistent.
Yeah, I mean, he looked finally like a major league player last year, but not like a guy that you're going to say, oh, wow, that's going to replace George Springer. And Alvarez could go either way. I mean, I think he could that could have been his best season, frankly, which, you know, that happens. But if he turns out to keep being that player, And Tucker takes a step, and you know, you figure out. I think you've got to keep one of Correa and Springer in some form or fashion. But you know, you've got Bregman locked up. You've got Altuve locked up. So you still got good players. It's just, you know, that pitching staff. Who knows what you're going to have? Because it doesn't look like Forrest Whitley's ever going to make it up there. So. So it says, did you hear that Governor Kemp of Georgia is considering new teenage drivers to get their licenses without having the driving test first?
I don't think this is a good idea.
No, it's basically if the parents say it's okay because of the Rona. Sorry. Now, that's Georgia. I don't know how the drivers are there. I know how they are here. But we don't need a whole new group of kids who can't drive worth a damn here. Someone else says, knocked the wife up with our third during cook-off. Luckily, I'm essential and didn't have to work from home, or I may be on the divorce list with another kid coming. We'll have three kids in under 4 years. Pray for me.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. Yeah. And somebody else says, Jesus, your guys' show's been flying by lately. I know.
It really has.
I don't know what. And you know, I've been waiting for one day where it's like, okay, it feels like it's dragging, but that hasn't really, it really hadn't happened. So do you think the extra time not playing helps or hurts McCullers? I think it helps.
I think it helps,
too. Have a full season. Yeah. And it certainly helps Verlander. Because he wouldn't have been ready for the start of the season. So that's a good thing for him. And, yeah, I hope there's a season. I really do. And I know I'm kind of intrigued by this whole three division thing. And you know, we talked about it a little bit the other day, but the idea of the Astros and the Dodgers in the same division, and what they would do is basically not completely combine the West Centrals and Easts of the NL and the AL, but close to that. And you would only play in division games. and you would play them in your home parks with no fans. And yeah, I think if that winds up happening, I think that'd be pretty cool, and it'd be different. And you know, I just wonder how people are going to judge how the champion looks at the end of a year like this, where it's not traditional. I mean, do you think baseball purist is going to be like, oh, well,
they'll always think of this as like a weird year, especially because AL versus NL, like there'll always be like some sort of an asterisk or something, or there'll be a footnote at least.
So then the Astros will win it this year, and then
probably
you could say, oh, well, they cheated in 2017, and then this year it wasn't really a real season because it wasn't the right divisions, and you know, it didn't have to beat the Yankees. So I haven't seen a playoff format for that idea.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we discussed yesterday what we think it would be, but I haven't seen anything in stone.
So, all right, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. And don't want to get into the whole thing, but the column I wrote for Sports Map today is how the NBA could – you think baseball purists are going to be mad if the NBA actually did this? I don't know if NBA purist exists, but I guarantee there'd be people saying, oh, no, this isn't a true champion.
NBA purist does exist. I heard him today on our station. It's Charlie Polillo who said
– Oh, really?
I was hearing him about they were talking about the greatest sinners of all time. Well, he was. And basically said, if you think Dream is anywhere higher than 3 on the list, you're a homer. Wilt and Kareem are unquestionably 1 and 2. Unquestionably. And then you get into the conversation of Dream, Bill Russell, Shaq. So that to me, that's a pretty old school thinking there.
I think it'd be hard for me to argue with Kareem. I never saw Wilt play, so all I've seen is, you know, grainy film.
You can barely even see grainy old footage of him.
Yeah, I know. I mean, he was incredibly dominant, but you know that's. I mean, I would probably say Kareem, and then I think it's really close between Hakeem and I think Shaq deserves to be in that conversation.
Yeah,
too.
And it's easy to say, well, Hakeem dominated Shaq, you know, when they played head to head, but that was baby Shaq. You know, that wasn't the best of Shaq that we would see.
That was Hakeem at the height of his powers, and yeah, and it was baby Shaq. And but that, you know, that was one time basically, and you know, I think when you look at their careers, the Shaq was pretty damn dominant too. And you know, the only benefit, the only positive I would say for Hakeem over Shaq is that, except for the 1 year with Drexler, Shaq always had better players around him.
Yeah,
than Hakeem did. But you know, and I probably would take Hakeem, but it's you can make a damn good case for Shaquille O'Neal. You really can. And Kareem was a different kind of player too. I mean, he was not the greatest defensive player in the world, but he was a fantastic offensive player and passer, and he was in an era where he was just bigger than everybody else, and was a great scorer. All right, let's take a quick break. We come back. I'm going to bounce this idea off you, and you can tell me how dumb it is, because yeah, I know you like doing things like that. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Happy Thursday, everybody. Salinas on Twitter asks, how does it affect the suspensions handed to the Astros with the time off? All those guys will be eligible to return in well, both those guys, will be eligible to return in 2021, no matter what happens. So, somebody says, debate with a friend, I believe you cannot compare any player in any sport without including era and position. You can't compare Michael Jordan versus Bill Russell or Jim Brown to Tom Brady. I mean, but that's what people do, right? And I think it's harder in football than it is basketball because you could be a dominant player in basketball at any position and you're still a dominant player. And
let's talk about like Wilt Chamberlain. And I mean, Wilt Chamberlain was playing against a bunch of 6'5" white guys. I mean,
well, and that's the thing about the whole, and like, oh, what about all these Celtics teams that went on? It was like an 8-team league back then. So it's not the same. And I don't think there's any way you can compare players like that. But that's what people do, right? I mean, everybody is, I mean, that's just sports talk. I mean, people love to do that. And, you know, if LeBron had played in Jordan's era, would he have been as dominant? Absolutely, I think so. But there's no way to know unless you get NBA 2K and have them play each other or something. So here's my little modest proposal for 2 weeks of awesome sports so that the NBA and NHL can crown a champion. And we won't get too much in the NHL. We'll just do the NBA. So how about a World Cup-style tournament with 20 teams? So you take the teams that were in the playoffs, and you take the 16 teams that were in the playoffs, and then you take two from each conference that were sitting in the 9-10 slot, and you put 5 four-team groups together. And you tell you 4 five-team groups, and you do a round robin. So, like, in the West, you'd take, and you wouldn't do it by seeding because you'd want it to be in one place, right? So, like, you'd have it at Staples Center or wherever, and you'd have the Lakers, Clippers, Utah, Portland, and Denver to kind of cut down on travel and stuff like that. And all those teams would play 4 games, and whoever finishes last, you're out. And then the other West would be Oklahoma City, Houston, Dallas, Memphis, and New Orleans, who would get in on a tiebreaker because they beat Sacramento head-to-head in the one game they played. And so those teams would all play each other, and then you'd have 16 teams left, right?
Yeah.
And then from there on, it's single elimination. So, and you match it up like you would the World Cup. And so you'd have the East, you'd do the same thing. And in the end, you'd have a one-game championship with whoever comes out of the East and whoever comes out of the West. And you do the exact same thing in hockey, and basically it's just the divisions there. But, I mean, I think it would be kind of cool because it would be like Olympic style. Like, I love Olympic hockey when they actually send the real players. And, you know, Olympic basketball never really is interesting because the U.S. always wins. But, boy, if you had a tournament like that, and let's just say the Lakers had one bad day in the elimination round, you kind of combine the best of the NCAA tournament with the World Cup and the best of basketball. And NBA was talking about doing some kind of tournament. Well, this would be kind of a cool way to do it. And you could do the whole thing in 2 weeks, and you'd have a champion.
I don't hate it.
I mean, obviously, it's a different world we live in right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I don't know how you'd be able to do 7-game series and
I agree. I don't think
back.
It's possible.
And I don't know that this is even possible, but at least it would give us something. And if you can imagine if the leagues worked together and say they did the NHL one night and the NBA the next night. And so we had like 2 weeks of these two tournaments running at the same time. And then you keep it in like one place. And like the semifinals and finals, it'd be like the NCAA tournament. You have like Dallas would host the round robin in L.A. in the West. And then you move it all to one place from there. And all the games are played in the same place. And it would be, you know, like 4 games a day. And then, like I said, you just rotate. One day NHL, one day NBA. And then at the end of it, you know, we'd have 1-game eliminations. And it'd be different. And I think it'd be fun. And I think people would like it. I mean, it's, I mean, I know it's not something they would probably look at, but I think it's a cool idea.
I came up with it.
But, well, I didn't actually come up with it. I think a listener mentioned something like that, and then we kind of got talking about it, and I started thinking, okay, how would we structure it? So if you want to read the article, it's on sportsmap.com, and I go through and actually break down every single, you know, what the pods would be, who would play who in the second round, and I do that for both the NBA and the NHL. And it's it'd just be, you know, something different. It's just an idea to throw out there in a time where maybe we need some ideas. I don't know.
Jared said, is there a true center left in the NBA? He said, Capella is close, but the last really good one would have been Duncan, right? And Duncan wasn't really a true center. He could play center, but he wasn't a real five. I think there's a few. Nikola Jokic is a true legit five. Embiid is, to me, he's probably the best center in the league. But he's so overly skilled that it's hard to look at him as like a real center. But I don't know who I'd compare him to. I mean, is like a historical center. Maybe Yao.
Yao might have been the last one that you think of. Like, that's the only position he could play. I think he can move.
Yeah, but could Embiid really be a four?
I think he could. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he is. Maybe it is him. But I mean, there's so many. Like in the old days, Anthony Davis would have been a center, and he's way too versatile for that.
Yeah.
You could play him all over the place. Now he's also kind of a different cat because he started off as a guard who grew a bunch of inches in between 1 year of high school. But you know, as far as a back to the basket kind of, you know, one dimensional guy, it may be Yao.
But even Yao was like an overly skilled, more skilled than what you would think of the normal center as.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was a really good shooter, but I mean, he wasn't as athletic in terms of quickness and things like that. I mean, he was for a 7'5", 300-pound guy, he was. But, and man, I don't know if you ever got up close to Yao. That is the biggest human being I've ever seen. I mean, his legs look like trees, man. I mean, he was just amazing.
And, I mean, so. Rudy Gobert is sort. I mean, he's
yeah, Gobert.
He's a real center, I would say. Andre Drummond always. I mean, Andre Drummond's really limited on both sides of the floor. I mean, he's an elite rebounder, but he's got his limitations on both sides. But I think he's a real center. I think Miles Turner is a guy who's turned into a legit center. There's a few of them. There's just it's pretty rare now. The Spurs have started to use LaMarcus Aldridge as a center, and I mean, I guess as his skill set has changed over the years, maybe that's the best thing. But he's not your old school center. He's still a guy who will go out and shoot the ball. I mean, he's not like a brutal inside the paint bang you up guy bruiser. I think maybe just the position has changed. It's not that there aren't centers anymore. It's just they look different now.
Yeah, a couple people mentioned Marc Gasol, Dwight Howard. Yeah, I mean, I think those are probably fair ones to bring up. All right, let's take a very quick break. Please do not go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, 713-780-ESPN. is your number. And, man, I've been seeing a lot of stories about if there's no fans in places, like the economic impact on Green Bay because of the hotels and restaurants and stuff like this and how devastating it would be. Man, I hate to break it. It's going to be that way for everybody. I mean,
yeah.
Every city.
I mean, for Green Bay, it sucks because it's all they've got. But I mean, it sucks for everyone. Everyone's got their own issues.
Yeah, and you know, I saw a thing about how Major League Baseball could see a 50% revenue drop from not having fans in the stands, and I think that's you know, I don't know how accurate that would be, but it wouldn't shock me. And I mean, the impact on stuff like that is, I mean, yeah, they're still going to make money because of TV, which is good, and you can, you know, people will be able to watch, and the TV contracts will pay them good money, and they'll be fine. But yeah, little stuff like going to your sports bar to watch a game on Sunday.
Yep.
Lots of people do that all over the country, even in places that don't have NFL. And bars around the, you know, like the bars around Minute Maid, the bars around the soccer stadium down here. All of those people go to before and after games. So it's, I mean, the impact is going to be, and a lot of people do come from out of town, especially at Texans games. Because other fans travel pretty well, and that's hotel money, that's, you know, airport tax money. There's just a lot of stuff that that I don't know that people have really been able to figure out how much of an impact it'll make, but it's going to be big, and you know, that's one of the reasons why it's, who knows how this thing is actually going to play out 6 months from now. I mean, we may not be done with all the economic impact.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way to really say exactly when this thing is going to be. I mean, there's the, when is it over from a medical standpoint, and when is it over from a economic standpoint? Those are two totally different things.
Yeah, and you know, all we can do is just try to, you know, just muddle through and see how it plays out and make the best of it as sports fans. You just have to, you know, enjoy it any way you can. See, the Astros are in the news again.
No. What have we done?
Apparently, the Astros, according to TMZ, have blocked the auction of a 2017 World Series ring that was going to benefit charity.
Oh, boy.
The ring originally belonged to Astros scout David Brito. Was listed with the Golden Auctions and was expected to sell for $60,000, with the proceeds going to coronavirus relief efforts. The Astros apparently put it in a contract. They have the option to purchase the ring back for $1. And, yeah, guess what?
That's so lame.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
What an awful, awful look.
Yeah, especially considering everything else. Maybe it should have thought that one through a little bit. But, I mean, gosh, wouldn't want to raise money for the Rona relief, would we?
Yeah, that would, I mean, what a bad call. Well, I mean, so did he have to sell it to them for $1, or did he just decide to keep it?
It didn't say what they wound up doing, but they basically blocked the...
That's lame.
The sale of it. So, I mean, I think they took it back. I mean, the story's not clear, but
like the guy who was selling it took it back.
No, I think the Astros did.
Oh,
keep
geez.
It from being sold. So, I mean, gosh, yeah, you've got a contract that you can do that. Sometimes, what, you know, what's the right thing to do?
Right.
Raise some money. Another thing I saw is that the NFL might see a lot more supplemental draft guys this year because of the uncertainty for college football. You still have to be eligible, but you might actually have some guys that would make the supplemental draft useful this year.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's sort of an interesting. The supplemental draft would be more interesting than it normally would, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's never more than like one or two guys that get picked.
Because conceivably, your draft, especially if there's not much of a college football season, your draft picks next year are less valuable than ever.
Right. And, well, then maybe Bill O'Brien's ahead of the curve, AJ.
Maybe so.
And apparently, just a follow-up to the Trent Williams trade, which I thought was a really good pickup for San Francisco's. Apparently, the Redskins were offered a one for him last year. Says, from what I was told, there was an opportunity before the trade deadline that he was worth a first-round pick, but for whatever reason, the deal was never done. Apparently, it was the Patriots who were making the offer.
That's so odd.
Yeah. I mean,
well, I
don't
really
know, think you...
I don't know why they would what their holdup was.
Well, I mean,
like why they didn't want to move him last year.
I mean, it was clear he wasn't coming back and they were okay with him not coming back. So I mean, what was the point? You know, get a first-round pick for a guy like that, do it.
It was probably personal, which is, I mean, that's the all of these guys who take this business personally, all of these GMs and these coaches who make these decisions based on personal feelings, it's never a good idea, ever.
Well, but we see it all the time, right? I mean, we may be seeing that in Green Bay.
Yep.
Right now. That may be turning personal, in which case... You know, I'm of the opinion that if it's a choice between a quarterback and a coach, unless the coach is Bill Belichick, if it's a stud quarterback, I'm keeping the quarterback.
That's where I'm at.
Especially
if it's a choice between a young quarterback and a coach.
So you're saying if it comes down to Deshaun Watson or Bill O'Brien, you're going to Deshaun Watson?
But certainly. Now, you know what, though? I shouldn't make it so black and white, because if it came down to Sean McVay or Jared Goff, which way would you go?
Oh, well, Sean McVay, because I think Sean McVay created Jared Goff.
I do, too. If it came down to Jimmy Garoppolo or Kyle Shanahan, which way are you going?
I'll go Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah. Let me give you a tough one.
I did say star quarterbacks. I don't know if those guys are stars.
Okay. Patrick Mahomes or Andy Reid?
Patrick Mahomes.
But that one's a tough one, isn't it? Because you feel like they kind of go together.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's part of it. I think in the case of Goff and Garoppolo, they're better because of their coaches. I do think Mahomes would not be the same guy, and I've said this before, in Cleveland, but he'd still be pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And, you know, but, hey, Andy Reid couldn't win with Donovan McNabb or Alex Smith or any of those guys. He needed Patrick Mahomes to win a title, which is why they traded up for him.
Yep.
So, one last thing before we get to break here. Sportsnot did three teams that are going to make the playoffs based on their offseason. And I think there's only one that I agree with, but I'll give you their three.
Okay.
They have the Broncos, which...
Disagree.
We talked about it earlier. Yeah, talked about it earlier.
I think they did have a good offseason, but I still think they're building around the wrong piece.
Agreed. Cleveland Browns.
No. I do think that they've got some talent there, and I'm curious to see what they'll do with a new coach at the helm, but I'm not ready to say that yet.
And the Dallas Cowboys.
I think the Cowboys make the draft or make the playoffs. I do.
Yeah, I think, like I said, they're going to need Prescott to take a big step forward. If he does, then I think they're a Super Bowl contender. I really do. I like what this team has done. I like how they.
But even if he shows up and he continues to be what he's been, still think they're a playoff team. Yeah, they've got a good roster there.
Absolutely, and it wasn't just the draft. I mean, yeah, they lost some guys in free agency, but then some of the guys they picked up, like Gerald McCoy, and Don Terry Poe. I mean, those are solid pickups.
Yep.
So, All right, 713-780-ESPN's the number, 713-780-3776.
How many segments left, Fred?
There's one segment. That's it.
Isn't that wild?
Jeez. Yeah, so I guess we'll be doing Hoffman on Hollywood when we come back.
Yes, sir.
All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, and somebody asked, too soon for Locke, or he isn't the guy? I don't know. I'm just not sold on him yet. And maybe he turns out to be the guy. He played well over the second half last year, so... maybe he turns out to lead the Broncos to the promised land. We shall see. All right, let's do a little Hoffman on Hollywood. Yeah, I guess we did. I was like, is it just me that can't hear AJ?
Nope, so, I don't hear him either.
Okay, fine. It's that's all right. We'll get him back. But little breaking news. Okay. Well, now we'll do Hoffman on Hollywood.
Hey, Fred.
Welcome back.
I feel like that's the first time I've dropped this whole time.
I think it is. Yeah. I mean, I think I've dropped once, maybe twice, but yeah, first time for you.
Let's do some Hoffman on Hollywood, and let's do it. This may be an adult version of Hoffman on Hollywood. What we haven't thought about is obviously there's less, or social distancing is a thing where there's less touching, things like that. Have you thought about making TVs and things like that in the age of coronavirus? Soap operas. They're still making them, but they're doing it without kissing, without touching. It's very odd. I mean, these are shows that often, I mean, that's what they're built around. Daytime romance shows.
Yeah, who's banging who?
But a show called Neighbors, which has been on in Australia for apparently, it's like their Days of Our Lives. It's been around forever. It's their longest running, globally popular serial drama. They're plowing ahead with a 5-day-a-week filming schedule, even during the pandemic. And it actually launched the careers of people like Kylie Minogue and Margot Robbie. And they've had to make some serious changes. For one, there's a nurse, and everybody's got to get their temperature taken upon arrival. And cast and crews have been divided into groups. Only two people are permitted in a certain area at any one time. Makeup and hair services have been scaled back. Shared changing rooms are now empty. And plots and characters have been change. Extras have been almost totally cut out. So basically, like, if there's a scene at a bar, they're the only two people at the bar, maybe a bartender. There's no people mingling around in the background. Actors are having to keep distance from each other no matter how hot and heavy the characters on screen are supposed to be. There's no kissing, none of that. It's really kind of a weird thing to think about, but that's happening right now, and I wonder if American television is going to kind of go the same direction.
You know, I haven't even really thought about daytime soaps in forever, but don't they kind of do all those sort of on the fly, or do they record them all early?
I think they go, like, they do a certain amount of episodes, like they try to bang out as many episodes as they can, and then once they've got a month's worth, they take a few weeks off. And then they do it again. It's almost like a game show schedule.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem if you start thinking about that, having to record. I mean, that's why people aren't making movies and stuff right now for that very reason.
And obviously, the adult industry is facing some similar issues. So what has come about? Zoom orgies. 6 women, 6 bedrooms, 6 boxes on the screen. And
you know, basically girls are all doing things in their own little box. A lot of writhing, a lot of moaning, and it'll eventually be edited into a film for the porn site Adult Time, which is a YouTube-like subscription streaming service with genres ranging from faux-cest to plus-size erotica. The six performers previously worked together in the popular movie Teenage Lesbian, and they said, we got to do a reunion. We got to do some kind of virtual orgy. This is the best we can do right now, so let's do it. And there's a lot of the porn industry is thinking about doing things like this with actors in different places and just sort of piecing things together. It almost seems like that industry should probably just hold out until they can get three people in the room together, a cameraman and two other people.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think there's enough of a library on most of these sites right now that, you know, we could survive without some new stuff.
And, our girl Britney Spears at it again. She burned down her home gym with candles that she'd been using for decor. Probably not. She says it was an accident, but yes, I burnt it down. Walked past the door to the gym and flames. Boom. By the grace of God, the alarm went off after that, and yippee hurrah, nobody got hurt. Unfortunately, now I only have two pieces of equipment left and a one-sided mirror gym, but it could be much worse, so I'm grateful. I like working it better outside anyways. So, if anybody's home gym was going to burn down from a candle, wouldn't you expect it to be Britney Spears?
Yeah.
Who else could it be?
Exactly.
And Fred, I know you'll be happy about this. I think it's a really, really bad idea. I'm going to say that now. Guns N' Roses are working fastidiously on new music during the coronavirus lockdown. I can't say much, but I've heard bits and bobs, and it's pretty epic. I do want to spread good news, but not detailed news, I guess. And that's Susan Holmes McKagan, the wife of Duff McKagan, the bassist. Earlier this year, Slash suggested that the changes in the way albums are released had prompted a delay with the arrival of Guns N' Roses' first new album in more than a decade. He said, stuff is happening with regards to a new LP, but there are no specifics. More than anything, it's because of the nature of the industry right now. So I'm going to go ahead and say, I don't need new Guns N' Roses. There's almost zero chance that it can be good. Much like Mike Tyson, the last we saw of new Guns N' Roses music, not good.
Yeah, Chinese Democracy was just bad. But the one thing that would make me look forward to it is if you remember when we saw them, even the songs from that album sounded better with Slash.
That's true.
I mean, they made those songs sound good. So having Slash, you know, okay, that goes back to what we were talking about. It gives me hope that maybe it won't suck. So I'll give it a shot. I mean, I don't know if I need more new music from them, but we'll see. I will at least give it a shot. It's Guns N' Roses.
And that's Hoffman on Hollywood, Fred.
So, I have one last semi-Rona-related story for you.
Okay.
The lockdown was lifted this week in Turkey. And a 31-year-old Kazakhstan native named Olesya Suspitsnia. The first thing she decided to do after the lockdown, and pretty cute from her photo, was she wanted to get a picture with, you know, basically from a cliff with this really cool background of the Duden waterfalls.
Okay.
And so she jumps a fence, poses on the cliff, and you can guess what happens next.
She
falls
tumbled.
Off the cliff.
Womp,
yep.
Womp.
And so excited about the Rona lockdown being over that she winds up dead.
Hard times.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe not the biggest loss in terms of being smart, but she was pretty cute for a dumb. But
isn't that kind of the way it normally goes? Let's face it.
Yeah. But you know, guys, there's enough stuff out there that will kill us. It's like the whole selfie thing. Stop dying from selfies. Stop dropping babies off escalators because you're taking a selfie. Just, you know, don't die from a photo. That's a. I mean, there's plenty of ways. I mean, the Rona can get you. You could die in traffic, but I mean, that's just silly. It's like, okay, yeah, let's climb on a cliff so I can take a cool picture, and thunk, you're dead. Congratulations. Oh well. So I mean, that's tangentially related to the coronavirus, but she was trying to celebrate. All right, well, another good episode, boys. Nick, you're hanging in there, man. You're doing a good job.
Appreciate it. Talk to you guys next week.
All right,
cannot wait.
You got anything going tonight? Are you doing late hits?
Doing late hits with Braddock and Creighton, obviously. Then just going home and chilling, man. A little drinking, a little chilling. That's it.
I'm drinking a couple beers tonight. I gotta unwind a little.
Yeah, I probably will have a little bit to drink tonight. Shocker. It's almost every night. All right. A-plus for Hoffman. A-plus for Nick Sciarra. Really solid C-minus for me today. We'll do it again tomorrow. We'll be celebrating 10 years of the Blitz. So make sure you tune in. And until tomorrow, stay Rona-free, bitches.